It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing. I feel
it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. It's Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner, live at Breslin Center in East Lansing, Michigan, where we saw a pretty exciting Saturday in early February basketball game that meant a lot for both teams. But Illinois had a 72-64 lead with under 8 minutes left, Joey Wagner, and it looked like they were going to get a marquee victory and leave Michigan State with yet another win. That'd be their second straight win in East Lansing. But for the second straight game, at the end of regulation, it all fell apart as Michigan State outscores Illinois 23-8 during the final 7 minutes. Illinois went 7-17 without a field goal. The defense was really atrocious, especially in transition. This one stings because it's starting to feel like a late game trend here for Illinois. But it's also obviously costly in the Big Ten races. You fall two games back of Purdue, who can take another half game on that lead. You kind of go back to the pack here a little bit, just a half game lead on Wisconsin. Michigan State gets closer to you for second place. But most importantly, this team needs some good wins. They don't have a lot of great wins on this resume, and it felt like they were going to get one today.
Yeah, they look – there were stretches where they'd go up eight and Michigan State would answer back, and they went up eight, and you knew Michigan State was going to come back with something, but you didn't expect Illinois to go 7-16 without a made shot. The turnovers – It felt like they couldn't stop it. Once that snowball started rolling downhill, they couldn't stop it. And Michigan State saw what it wanted to attack, and that was Luke Goody, that was Quincy Guerrier, and Malik Hall attacked them. And over, and erased that deficit, took a lead. It's just a disastrous close. It was a truly disastrous close. Like, you can't even point and say it was, oh, it was the offense, or oh, it was the defense. It was a collective everything. Like, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and there was just no way for them. At no point did you feel like they were doing enough that you thought maybe they can snap out of it. Like, you, once it happened, you're like, no, there's nothing here right now that makes you think they're gonna tighten this back up.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Brad Underwood had no answers for his team for the second straight game, which is a little bit concerning here, right? Like, offensively, you couldn't get anything going. You missed a couple open shots, but offensively, it just kind of bogged down. Felt like they were trying to whittle away clock. I thought Coleman Hawkins as a distributor in that second half had just been awesome in booty ball. But then they just had some careless turnovers. Terrence Shannon had one, I believe. Coleman Hawkins had one. Justin Harmon had one. Just some huge turnovers where an offense that really had a great day and has had a great season just can't find anything. And then you compound it with just horrible defense. You weren't able to stop Malik Hall, a couple and ones. And to be honest with you, I don't know why Ty Rogers was riding the bench for the final.
We asked, right? Like, you asked. Yeah, we asked. I don't know that we got an answer that even resembles something that would help us clarify why. It was mind-boggling.
Because Lou Goody, credit to him, he plays hard, but he just got hunted defensively
all game
today.
All game, man. And the the defense wasn't just the last 7-23. Like, they couldn't get stops when they needed stops all game long.
Yeah, he just got hunted, and Malik Hall went at him, and Coleman was kind of supposed to be the guy behind him, and he had a couple and ones. But Quincy Guerrier has just been non-existent for Illinois for most of the last four games. And I said coming into this game, I thought a key matchup was Malik Hall against Quincy Guerrier. I thought Quincy had to win that one for Illinois to have a chance to win this game. And Quincy barely played because he was in foul trouble. He just hasn't had that bite and physicality we had seen previously. And Malik went right at him and drew all these fouls, got him off the court. That hurt Illinois' rebounding. But I thought Ty Rogers was the guy I wanted on the court at some point I asked Brad after the games. He said there's a multitude of reasons why he went that way. Didn't have a chance to follow up. We only had 7 minutes with Brad today after this. And we only had so many opportunities to ask the questions. But I thought it was a strange move because I don't think Ty's been as great defensively as I thought he would be this year. But I just thought you needed some physicality. And to be honest with you, offensively, you need somebody else to create. And I thought besides Hawkins and Shannon that Ty was probably the third best option of creating offense today too.
Yeah, I really don't understand why he wasn't out there. We have seen it for those two games, Northwestern and Indiana, I believe it was. We had seen it where Ty Rogers had been on the bench late. The Northwestern thing, I understood. He was trying to get the matchups, get Barnheiser out on one of Guerrier or Hawkins, but I don't – it's hard to understand today. I guess we could try to peel it back, Jeremy, and try to figure out, did you put Hawkins on Hall? Like, what's the move there, right? You bring in Rogers. Like, what are the puzzle pieces to move around to guard Hall? Because Hall was the option, and Illinois didn't have an answer.
I just thought it would up your physicality. I thought Luke was just getting kind of bullied. I thought Quincy got bullied. You know, Quincy coming in, like, I kind of thought, okay, at least he can try and physical him up. But I just haven't seen that bite from Quincy here recently. I think it's really hurting this team. Because he's that four man that they've kind of lacked before. But no, you still got to have Coleman because with those fives, I mean, Michigan State's fives are a problem for them. Like they provide no offensive firepower. You can sit back and Coleman can just kind of play help defender, you know, and kind of be zoning up a little bit, but basically just sit in the paint and kind of roam around and cause them problems. And I think he really helped shut down those guards late in the game, but I just thought Illinois got bullied around, so I'd like to put my bully in there, in Ty Rogers. So I just didn't get that. I didn't get that move.
No, I didn't either. And, like, the thing is Michigan State, outside of their center, like, that's a tough matchup because you've got to guard Jaden Akins, Tyson Walker, Malik. Like, they're a tough team to match up against, and I think you're going to see, like,
if they had a stretch big, that'd be a great team.
Yeah,
I still don't understand how Tom Izzo went all offseason without adding a transfer. I know he's all about his guys and all that, but that is just stubbornness. That doesn't make any sense. If I'm a Michigan State fan, I'm really upset, and I know they are, about not doing that because it felt like you are this close, like one piece away from potentially being a great team because those four other pieces are great.
Yeah, they are. And that's what I'm trying to get to is I'm with you. Like, I thought Ty Rogers needed to be in there. I'm just trying to think what pieces you move around and who you put on Malik Hall. Like, who down that stretch, who would you put – on Malik Hall?
I would put him.
Like, you at one point it was clear like they were going at him when Goody was in there, and we looked at each other. It's like you can't have Luke Goody in there right now. And then sure enough, Quincy Guerrier comes in, and immediately, I mean, like, within — it was the first possession — within 10 seconds gives up an and one, and like, that is brutal. I mean, he had a tough day, and we talked about it today, Jeremy. Those transfers that were so important in getting Illinois through that six games without Terrence Shannon, and really even before that, Quincy Guerrier hasn't given you much the last three games, four games. Justin Harmon has been a little inconsistent. Marcus Domask is obviously the best of all of them, and you've seen that, but he also got pickpocketed a lot today.
Michigan State is a tough matchup for him because Hogard really guards him well. Really can physical him up a little bit. There's just been a little hesitancy at times. Like, Domask was 3 of 5 from three today, and I was like, shoot more of them. There was somewhere he was open. It's just like, shoot more of those that are open. So he was okay today. But, yeah, those two turnovers that he had really hurt. You know, to get the pickpocketed like that for layups, it seems like once a game at least is hurting. But that's – it's probably what's going to happen when you don't have a true point guard, right? Like, at some point that's going to happen. But, you know, offense was not my main issue for most of this game, Joey. This defense is not good right now. This is a Michigan State team that didn't top, 65 the last two games. Like, I know they've been pretty good offensively over the last 7 weeks, but to give up 88 points and 1.3 points per possession, what happened to this defense?
I don't know. According to KenPom, this is the second worst defensive performance of the season, behind only the Northwestern game, where it was really, really bad. The defense had so much bite. And I thought Brad Underwood, when he was asked about just having options offensively, and he talked about, like, you've got to be able to score the ball. You've got to be able to score the ball, which was an interesting this was yesterday before you and I made the trip up here. I thought it was interesting because anytime Brad's been asked about like the keys to putting it together and right, what's it always been? It's literally always been defense. And he's not wrong, right? Like you've got to be able to score the basketball right now or you're not going to, and they are. But I just thought I kind of stepped back afterwards and I thought that's weird because that answer has always been like he's always been so over the top about defense. I still think that's a huge belief of his, but it doesn't have that same bite. And to be honest, he's been talking about it and we've been seeing it for the better part of a month, 3 weeks. I mean, Derek Piper, I remember, asked Brad Underwood after the Indiana, Jeremy, he said, I want to say it was Indiana. He said, how do you get more bite? Who steps up? And Brad said, everyone. And you haven't seen that. Their defensive efficiency numbers, which I'll write about after we're done here, have completely shifted from what they were. They were a top 20 defense in December and before that Fairleigh Dickinson game. And now they've fallen.
So the first 2 months of the season, November, December, Illinois was 18th in the country in defensive efficiency, according to Bart Torvik. Since then, they're 86th. Right. Yeah. That's not good enough. Like that's not good enough to win in the Big Ten, but most importantly, that's not good enough to win in the NCAA tournament. Usually to make a run in the NCAA tournament, teams are usually top 30 defensive teams. So you have an offense that is good enough, right? You got to figure out this defensive side of the ball. And you know, we asked Marcus Domask about it. What are some of the keys? And he said, I just think we got to focus more on that. Like we got to be more locked in on that end. And they seem so focused on running good offense, which I thought today they ran good offense for most of the game before they started turning it over late. And they had 80 points at Michigan State. That should be good enough to win. But when you don't have that defensive intensity and focus and you're busting switches and letting 23 fast break points by Michigan State. That's effort. That's energy. I know it's turnovers a little bit in there, Joey, but they were getting fast break points off Illinois makes. That can't happen, especially for an older team.
No, and I'm wondering defensively if they look at – like the switching is so good when it's good, but they've also – Brad Underwood has talked for a few games now about blowing switches and not having that. It's like, do you dial back some of that switch it all, switch everything type of defense? A little bit of what you saw last year, though, I think this is a better – defense than it was last year and their ability to switch and handle that. But I'm wondering if they dial that back at all moving forward with, you can maybe experiment with that a little bit with Michigan on Tuesday, but I don't know. Like, is that something we should have asked Brad? We'll ask him on Monday. Is that something he's considering? Because this trend right now defensively is alarming. It's really, really alarming. And you shouldn't have your second worst defensive performance against Michigan State offense that really, like, I do like four of their pieces, but they haven't strung this together. We haven't seen a Michigan State offense really go like that. I'm pulling up their efficiency numbers here per KenPom. And this was their fourth highest offensive efficiency game of the season. One, Michigan, Oakland, Stony Brook, and Illinois. Like, that's – if you're Illinois and you're trying to make a run, you can't have that.
Yeah, and I thought today Michigan State looked like the tougher team at times, getting some 50-50 balls, all that stuff. That's not who Brad Underwood is, so I'm interested to see what kind of adjustments they do make to that. We'll take some of your questions here on the live YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody that's tuning in. Hit the like button, subscribe to us, hit that notifications bell. We'll get to all of that here coming up. But I want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing. But before getting to Terrence Shannon, who had a really good game, we'll talk about some of these other guys who are struggling a little bit. I just doubted this game. The reason I picked Michigan State to win, Joey, is because the two things that I am concerned about with this team being a great team are defense and their late game execution. And that came home to roost. So these are the two flaws of this team that will keep them from getting to their goals, whether that's, pushing Purdue late in the season or it's going far in the NCAA tournament. That's what we're looking at here. And that's why I was concerned coming into a place like this where Michigan State has now won 9 straight here. They played like a top 20 team during the last 7 weeks. I thought Illinois had to bring its A game. And those two big concerns kind of came home to roost. I'm not happy I was like right about those, but those are the concerns we've had building now for a little bit. Like Indiana was, those things kind of showed up as well.
Yeah, they did. And it's been the late games, like Illinois wasn't in a lot of late games early on in the season. And now you're seeing, they're just not they haven't been executing in those games. Jeremy, I think you mentioned chasing Purdue. That's a pipe dream at this point, right?
Yeah.
Purdue's played seven road games.
Purdue can probably clinch the Big Ten tonight.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they played seven road games in conference already. I mean, that's – they're gonna pretty comfortably probably win the Big Ten. So now you're looking at seed lines, right? Seed lines for Illinois. You're trying to figure out this defensive issue. Like, I know the offense was bad in that final 7.5 minutes. I don't have that many concerns offensively. I have concerns defensively. I thought Tyson Walker was excellent in ball screens, and Illinois really struggled when he came off that screen to contest. Like, he had good looks coming off screens, and
he's a good guard player, man.
He's a good player. He's a quick guard, and I think they really struggle with that. And I think some of those quick guards, the Boo Booies of the world, Jameer Youngs of the world, like, you've seen Illinois struggle with that.
Yeah, and that's where you're missing a guy like Sincere Harris. You're missing, you know, maybe of developing a guy like Dre Gibbs Lawhorn. I do think he's the one guy who kind of stick with those guys, but obviously you're concerned about how things would happen offensively. So we'll see. We'll see if they can make adjustments to that. Before we dive into a few positives, some lingering thoughts about this game, and get to your questions, let's hear from one of our great sponsors.
Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. So wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals from Factor delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and my favorite guys, Protein Plus. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Great part about Factor, they're two-minute meals. So you fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals. They're ready to heat and eat wherever you are. Plus, they have snacks, smoothies, and more, so you can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And we've done the math. Sign up and save. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while subscription is active. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while subscription is active.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, Joey Wagner, one positive from this game was Terrence Shannon Jr., his most productive game since his return from suspension, 28 points. He did shoot 7 of 19 by the end of this game, 2 of 9 from 3. He had to force some up here late in the game, but got to the free throw line, really gave him a spark when Coleman Hawkins went to the bench with two fouls at the end of the first half and kind of kept them in the lead there for a little bit. But I think that's a positive. You need him to be a star, and today he was certainly a star for Illinois.
Yeah, and it was one of those, and I mean this in a good way, it's a kind of a quiet number of points. He had 19. I looked at you and I said, he has 19 points. And it was just felt like everything was within the flow of what they were doing offensively. He had a 6-straight-point stretch in the first half. He hit a logo three. He got to the line. He did things offensively that looks like what you've seen out of him before, really before the suspension, and to a degree, the second half against Ohio State. He was 12-13 at the line. But the big thing, you mentioned it, he had 7 rebounds. And he used those rebounds, got to the glass. What do you have? Offensive
Some big
rebounds.
Ones on the offensive. He had two takes, two field goals after offensive rebounds.
Yeah, he had 3 offensive rebounds. I mean, that was huge. And Illinois needed that. And we've seen him since he's been back try to – looks like to us, try to force it, take some shots that – you know, just don't look like he's hitting them that night. And I thought tonight he was really efficient, did a lot of things within the flow offensively.
Yeah, he did miss his final 6 shots. So, right, that's part of Illinois finishing is Terrence Shannon making some of those. Some of those are good looks. Like, he had a corner 3 that was wide open late in the game. Like, Illinois did miss a few of those looks, but it's the turnovers that really hurt that offense late. But I thought he and Coleman were really good offensively today. Coleman running that booty ball himself, I thought was really, really good. I thought he was making great decisions. 7 assists tonight. And some guys missed some open shots from that. I mean, Illinois shot the ball really well in the first half. And then it kind of slipped a little bit after that. They went 5-16 from 3 in the second half. That's still 5 three-pointers. But just weren't able to make those and weren't able to get some at the rim that Michigan State was able to get towards the end of the game.
I really love that you and I are alternating muting. So if you hear background noise, there's leaf blowers here at Breslin cleaning up. I really liked them putting Coleman Hawkins in that position, and Michigan State wasn't, or they were starting to double. And he's such a good passer. He is such a good passer. Got guys open looks. I love that. And I think that's something that if Illinois can go back to that in games, like they need to do that because he was exceptional in that role today. And I thought he really handled it well. You want to talk about the technical real quick before we move? While we're talking a little bit about Coleman Hawkins, he got teed up. He said boom to a fan who, according to Coleman Hawkins, previously had told him he sucked. And Coleman Hawkins wanted to talk about that because I think
I tweeted out, I think he's getting a little bit of a reputation with the referees. And I think anybody that's watching the games can think that because the last 2 games, he's gotten rung up for a technical very quickly. He's an emotional player. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. I know some fans don't like it. They're annoyed by it. And I do think at moments it can take him out of the game a little bit. Like he
thought there was a stretch today.
Yeah, towards the end of the game, he was trying to sell a foul. Michigan State had a 5-on-4 because Coleman's looking at the refs. Hogard hits a 3. I think he's got to be better in the moment about some of those things. But I thought it was a terrible call by the referee to call that. They kind of made up for it with the Jaden Akins technical foul. But he took umbrage with that, and that's fine. But, like, I asked him if he's got to talk to the refs a little bit, and he said, I try to sometimes, but they don't really listen to me or don't want to hear it from me. And he doesn't want to get a technical again for trying to talk to them because he might be seen as, like, screaming at them. I love talking with Coleman. I've enjoyed covering. I love watching him play. I think people know I'm a huge fan of his game, but he's an emotional player and kind of like Andre Crabeau at times. The referees are quick to act on it. And I think we've seen 2 technicals in the last 2 weeks, right, on Coleman Hawkins. So I just think it's something he's got to be aware of.
Yeah, I think so. And I think probably is aware of that. That technical, the first technical he got, I thought was probably, I'm trying to remember the exact scenario, but it felt more warranted. This one was terrible. It was absolutely atrocious. Fans can say whatever in the world they want to say to players when they're on the floor.
And I love Brad saying they don't let us have fun. Like, that's fun. Like, that. This is college basketball. This is Big Ten basketball. Most of these players playing in this game are making good money now. Like, this is semi-pro basketball. This is basically professional basketball. Like, I'm fine with that. That's a fun part of the game. They show that stuff on the super slow-mo, right? Like, when a player's saying stuff. Like, it's an emotional game, man. Have some fun doing it. I don't mind that stuff.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been teed up for that. And I don't have any issue, as you mentioned, with him wanting to push back on the narrative. Now, again, I do think that he laid on the floor, tried to get a foul call. As you mentioned, Michigan State goes and hits a, I think it was a 3-pointer. Yeah, it was. It was a 3-pointer in transition. He has a turnover. Michigan State gets down there. And then he gives up an and one. Like, that was a tough stretch for him at a critical time that allowed Michigan State to get back in the game. And, like, that's where, like, his it's such a balance, I think, with him. I don't want to speak for him, but he plays so emotionally. I think that's what makes him as good as he is, because he does play like that. But there are times where, especially in that stretch, it's like, from us, from our vantage point looking at it, it looked like and he's got to take a breath and get kind of right the ship a little bit. But I mean, the point being, the technical was terrible, and he ended up with two fouls, and he had to sit, and Dane Danger had to play, and Dane Danger was a -7 in small sample size. That was bad. It hurt Illinois late in the first half with him ended up having two fouls.
Yeah. All right, we'll get some of your questions here before we get out of here. Ken said maybe Harmon shouldn't be on the floor in crunch time. I'd rather have Ty Rogers on the court. I think Ty Rogers is one of their best players. I don't know why he's sitting. It's the one question I have for Brad Underwood after this game. I didn't like his answer because he really didn't answer it. I just think he's one of your better players. I don't know if they're upset with him defensively. He only had two rebounds tonight, so that might be a little bit of a concern, but man, I trust that guy. I will say Ty Rogers had some moments where stopped picking up the ball in the middle of the lane. It's not a really good place to be because he had, two turnovers off that? So maybe that was part of it. They wanted more shooters on the court, but Harmon had 7 points, but two of them were on a late layup that really didn't matter. And let's see, he was 1 of 2 from three, so he made 1 3. I just think Ty Rogers gives you more.
Yeah, I do too. Justin Harmon, I'd have to look at his numbers, but it just doesn't feel like he's had a couple games this season where he's been huge off the bench. And we had talked about, wow, he seems like he's settling into his role. We wrote about it. We did a lot with it. But these last couple games, it just doesn't seem like it's been as natural. And it's hurt Illinois.
Anthony, do you think this team has reached its ceiling without a true point guard? Domas got pickpocketed by Tennessee, now MSU. Seems like a big issue down the stretch, especially in March. I think Domas had two turnovers today. You're going to take that from your main guard. Like, one of them was bad. It seems like one leads to a pick two, which is bad. I still think I'm not concerned about the offense all that much, Joe. I say that, and they went 7 minutes without a field goal. Giving up 88 points is the bigger issue here.
I'm more concerned with trying to figure out a way to guard the other point guards. Those are quicker point guards who can shoot off those ball screens. Like, that's where my bigger concern lies.
Yeah. Brad is letting Domas become too ball dominant. DMC says Ty should bring the ball up and initiate offense. You get booty ball anytime in the shot clock. Domas bring it up, initiating, shows offense and breakdown. They did let Coleman go more. Like, I like that they were going to Coleman more because I just didn't think it was Domas' night with that. I think it's a tougher matchup for him, which is a credit to Michigan State. And I just think especially AJ Hogard, who had a phenomenal game. But I could have gone for more Terrence. Like, I know they don't run a lot of stuff for Terrence. I would like to have seen them run stuff. Go him and Coleman Hawkins in the two-man game. Get Terrence to the free throw line. Like, when they need points, Terrence at the free throw line was, I think their only points from the 7:30 mark to the 22-second mark. That's
– yeah.
The way he was going, I would have gone more through Terrence.
Coleman had a 1-1 he converted. So, yeah, okay. Otherwise it was all Terrence Shannon. Yeah, I don't – I do think there's definitely that point's valid to have someone else bring it up and then get it to Domas once you get into the half court. Like, I think that is that's more than fair. I'm with you. I would like to see that be Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins.
I know that Marcus Domas carrying the ball or handling the ball coming up the court to Terrence Shannon, to be honest with you.
I don't. I think you have enough guys.
Yeah.
That it doesn't need to be all like, let it balance out. Go some with Terrence. Go some. Terrence has shown last year in particular. He struggled in that. He did. But I switch it up. Switch it up a little bit. You can get it to Domas anytime. We'll see. I mean, I don't have, like, you and I are both kind of on the same. I don't have the offensive concerns that some of those picked sixes are, those are tough.
I have the late game offensive concerns. Like, why is it bogging down late? What are you doing differently? They got to figure that out. But to give up that many points, like, this team should not be doing that. Like, I think they're too talented, they're too good. They got to figure that side of the ball out more. Bren asks, Boom or That's Cash, what is worse?
Neither of them deserve a technical.
Yeah, Crimson, getting the winning the Big Ten out of their heads might help reset the goal and focus on fixing what it will take to get there. I still think they're going to try and win the Big Ten. They probably got to win out to do something like that now, but I don't know. Like, just that bite isn't there. Like, we've kind of seen this brewing, right? Nebraska was not a great performance for this team, but they won. Indiana was not a great performance for this team, but they won. This was a better team on the road. I thought if Illinois played like it did against Nebraska and Indiana, it would not have a chance to win, and that's what came up.
Yeah, I don't think you want to tell them not think about winning the big, because you need them to have that engagement and that fire to feel like you can go string together February to catch up and win it. So I don't know. Like, I get the point, but I think fixing the issues and like still letting them think they have a chance to win the Big Ten can go hand in hand.
Red Pillow, Guerrier, Damask, and Harmon were playing so good before TSJ came back, but now so out of rhythm. Hope they get their mojo back. Do you think that's why they're struggling here, Joey?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe early when he came back, like you figure it out, but he's been back for too long for me to think that's the thing. And I mean, Guerrier's having Shannon back on the floor doesn't miss shots for him, doesn't stop him attacking the glass, right? I mean, I think there's been enough time that's elapsed that they would have adjusted to having him back within the flow of things.
And I think Harmon's probably had the biggest adjustment. Like, nothing should change for Guerrier, right?
No,
like,
no.
Damask is still – he's the hub of the offense for the most part. Like, they're still running most of their stuff through him, so not a lot should change for those guys.
No, I don't think – I think early on there was a feeling out process to try to figure out how it all – gets back, because they had adjusted for six games without him. I think that's just too far removed for me to look at that and kind of pin that down as a reason.
Bren, Rutgers looks a lot better with Williams. Our best chance at another quad one win might be them rising to 75 in the net for that road win. Jeremiah Williams looks pretty dang good, Joey. Not only is he a long point guard, he's athletic. He looks healthy. Brad Underwood, that could have been another really good addition. They could have used a Jeremiah Williams today, both defensively and offensively. Him and Cliff Omori were close to triple doubles today. Yeah, Wisconsin, what a free fall for them. I saw somebody else comment about that. Four straight losses for Wisconsin. The eye test to me told me they weren't that level of team to be in the conversation for a three seed. So now they've kind of fallen back here. That's left a double bye a little bit more open. The chance to get to second place, more open for Illinois that has a half game lead on them right now. But that would go into a conversation like this Michigan State team has a chance to rise back up to where we thought. Like, they are playing really good basketball outside of the loss to Minnesota. They're playing like the team I thought they could be during the last 7 weeks or so.
Yeah, they are. They're playing good ball. They're different, playing much better than when they came to Champaign.
And Malik Hall just changes them. Like, he was awful for the first month and a half. He's been great lately.
I want to go back to the quad one win.
Yeah.
Discussion right now as it stands today, there's some change there. Only three opportunities, the final three, at Wisconsin, against Purdue, and at Iowa. Maryland is 84 right now. You go there, you need at some point to see if they can get back into the top 75. I don't know how much you would hope for that. I don't expect Iowa to move and make that home game a quad one win. So I mean, there's just not a lot of options. And Rutgers, yeah, Moving up a little bit, if they can string something together and get out of that, so it's not a quad three win. But, man, there are just not a lot of options. And people have pointed out, and I think it's fair, Illinois's got three quad one wins, or 3-5 in quad one games, but it doesn't feel like there's a marquee win. Like, Florida Atlantic is – and I guess Michigan State at home. Like, those are the two
– this would have been your best win of the year.
No doubt. There's no doubt. That's – like, their analytics darlings, I think most of the time they pass the eye test, but like, they don't have those marquee, like, signature win at Tennessee type of game.
They look like a five seed. Yeah, they kind of look like a five seed right now, right? Like, and so I'm looking at this, like, if they won out, they'd probably be a two seed, right? Because you're probably winning the Big Ten if you win out here.
Sure.
If you win seven games, I think you'd definitely be at least a three seed, potentially in the conversation for a two seed. If you win six, which I think is a realistic goal for this team, I think then you can be in the conversation for a three seed. If you get, you know, a marquee win like Wisconsin or Purdue, I think that would be monstrous for this team. But if you win five or four, which the projected right now, KenPom has them 6-2 or 5-4 or 5-3 to end this season. That'd be 22-9, 13-7 with a couple quad one wins, but not a lot of marquee stuff there. Probably in the 4-5 game, right?
Yeah, that feels right. This team feels like somewhere between a 3 and a 5, right? Like that's kind of where I feel like.
And I think they'd have to lose. I think they'd have to go like 4-4 might be putting you in the conversation for a 6, which might not be the worst thing in the world for Illinois. Sure. Just because you'd be in the bottom part of a bracket and avoid the one seed, but. Yeah, like I think the floor of this team still looks like a five seed. I still think you got Michigan, Penn State, Iowa a couple times, Minnesota. I still expect them to win a lot of those games. It's just after today, there's just not a lot of ascension possibilities unless you just go on an absolute tear and are able to pick up marquee wins, whether it's at Wisconsin or home against Purdue.
Sorry, and yes, Red Pillow, they are making the tournament.
That's they are unless they like they win two more games, they're making the tournament.
Yes.
Like their strength of schedule is too good, their net's too good. They have some good wins. They are making the NCAA tournament. Anything else before we get out here? Michigan coming home. Michigan's played a little bit better here recently, Joey. They got the win over Wisconsin. I guess that's the only one that's better. So that's good for them. They play at Nebraska today. We'll see how they play there. That's a bad team. That's a team that looks like start well, and you could potentially blow that team out. And those are the things that can help Illinois. Is if you play well and get some big wins, some like 10-plus point wins, some 20-point blocks or something like that, that can help you a little bit. But that's a team you just have to beat at home. It's the worst team in the Big Ten that I've seen this year.
Yeah, and good point by Kronk. No Doug McDaniel for that game. He's still serving the road suspension, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, yeah, you're right. Like, that should be a convincing win for Illinois. Like, they need to come out and respond and blow that team out on your home court.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Joey, before we get out of here?
I just still, like, I know what happened late, and that's fine. Coleman Hawkins was so good. He was so good.
I loved him.
Like,
today.
For everything, I understand, like, that stretch we had talked about, a turnover, maybe a miss at the rim. He was so good. Like, to me, that was – I know what Terrence Shannon did, and he had that, and I think that's really big for Illinois, but goodness, Coleman Hawkins was good.
Yeah, like if Illinois would have won this game, I think Terrence Shannon might have been my lead to this game because they need a star performance like this to win
and
the
Coleman,
game.
Coleman, your star of the game.
And Coleman would have been my star of the game.
Yeah, he was so.
It's so evident when he is on the court. When he is off the court, Illinois is just a completely different team. And thinking ahead, you got to replace that next year. Like, you – because he's an NBA player. Like, he should be an NBA draft pick. So he's played extremely well this season, and especially the last 2 months. Coleman Hawkins right now would probably be my second team all Big Ten.
Yeah, because first team belongs to the gentleman at Purdue. Right?
Yeah, you don't have to go positions. I don't do anything by that. But, like, he's a top 10 player in the Big Ten. Like, I think he makes as big of an impact as all but – what, 8 or 9 guys potentially in the Big Ten. And then we'll talk about Domask and Shannon in that conversation for first team all Big Ten. I would vote for Terrence Shannon, all Big Ten first team. Some voters might not feel great with his legal issue going on, but he's playing, and today would help him with that case. And AJ Storm, Wisconsin, struggling a little bit. I think it might come down to those two. Tyson Walker looked like an all Big Ten first team guy today, that's for sure.
Man, it seems like he gives Illinois fits in this.
Gives everybody fits.
Yeah, he does. He's a really, really talented player.
All right. Thank you to everybody for listening live on the live YouTube channel. We appreciate you guys. Hit the like button on the way out. Subscribe to us. Hit that notifications bell. Really, really helps us out. Joey and I are going to head back. We'll have player grades. Joey will write a little bit about the defense. We'll have some follow-ups. And Joey working on a very good feature that I'm excited to read from him going into next week. We got plenty coming at Illini Inquirer. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcasts. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.